Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Read, read, books, books. Read, read, books, books.
Good morning and welcome to our book pick segment for the week. This is what we like to do on Tuesdays, to spend time with independent booksellers to find great books that are out there that we can add to our reading list. This morning we speak to Stan Hines of Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont, and Saratoga, New York. Stan is the book buyer for both stores and joins us this morning via telephone to tell us about the terrific list of books that he has put together for us this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Good to hear your voice. Very nice to have you with us once again. Where would you like to begin, sir?
Well, let's start with some fiction. I'm going to talk about a collection of short stories, and it has been released to universally great acclaim. It's made some bestseller lists. It's called Redeployment by Phil Clay. The author went to Dartmouth. He's a U.S. Marine who served in Iraq during the surge in 2007. And as I said, these are short stories. And all of the stories are centered on the war, the wars in Afghanistan or Iraq. Some of them are combat stories. Some of the characters work only behind a desk. And some are veterans, you know, who are trying to make the transition back to civilian life here in the States. The title story, which Redeployment, just to give you an idea, read you the first couple of sentences. We shot dogs, not by accident. We did it on purpose, and we called it Operation Scooby. I'm a dog person, so I thought about that a lot.
Yeah.
Well, this is a story about one of the veterans who is back stateside now, and he's got a young wife, and he's got a dog. This is just an amazing collection of stories. It's the kind of fiction that portrays a reality as well, in a way, if not better, than nonfiction can. I mean, you can read superb nonfiction on the wars, Lone Survivor, Outpost, you know, George Packer, Dexter Filkins, and you can read this book, Redeployment, by Phil Clay. It is just absolutely authentic in portraying the violence, the absurdity, the confusion of what it's like to be in a war. There's a great deal of lingo, acronyms in here. In fact, one of the stories is nothing but every single sentence, every single
right.
paragraph is full of lingo and acronyms. And in a way, you know, you could look everything up if you wanted to, so you could understand exactly what they're talking about. But I didn't do that. You know, it's another way of sort of portraying to the reader that you just can't possibly imagine what it's like over here. You don't even speak the language. It's an excellent, excellent book. I can't recommend it highly enough.
It's terrific stuff. We had Phil on, I guess, about a week and
yeah.
a half ago, and he's really,
yeah.
really good. It's Redeployment by Phil Clay. Next.
I'm going to talk about another collection of short stories, and I know that you like hardcovers, Joe, but this is a paperback original, and there's nothing I can do about that.
That's all right. But, I'll wait.
All right. and this just came out about a month ago by a fellow named Murray Farish, and the title is Inappropriate Behavior. When the person from the publisher that I know, and it's published by Milkweed Editions, contacted me about reading this ahead, she described it as edgy, and I kind of thought, you know, usually edgy means it skews to a demographic that's a little bit younger than I am. But she rightly pointed out that booksellers can be omnivorous readers and that good writing is good writing. And so I gave it a try, and it's excellent. I absolutely loved it. Two of the stories in Inappropriate Behavior, one is called The Passage, and another is called Lubbock Is Not a Place of the Spirit, are about notorious people in U.S. history before they became notorious. And it was a lot, very interesting and a lot of fun to kind of figure out who the stories we're talking about in the passage. A young American man has caught a ship from America to France, and his bunk mate is just a very weird guy who spends a lot of time reading and journaling, and he's very disturbing. And it wasn't until I was at least halfway through the book that I realized who this bunk mate was. And in Lubbock is not a place of the spirit. I think that story takes place in the 1980s. It's about a young man who's handing out political flyers for a congressional candidate in Texas. And he also likes to write little country songs and little notes to Jodie Foster. That's also very interesting story. There's a lot of mental illness in this collection. There's a heartbreaking story called The Alternative History Club about a young teenage girl who's having trouble with her family, and she's seeing a therapist, and all she can talk about with the therapist is how she keeps seeing David Ferry. David Ferry was an American who was allegedly involved in the conspiracy to assassinate President Kennedy. But she can't possibly be seeing David Ferry, but she's convinced he is. And it is, again, about halfway through the story, you actually realize what's going on, and it's just heartbreaking. In the title story, Inappropriate Behavior is I think, the strongest. And it's another example, as I was talking about Phil Clay's book, where fiction portrays reality as well as nonfiction. It just takes place in St. Louis, middle-class family, two parents and an only child. The father has been recently downsized. Their child has all kinds of behavior issues at school, and they're constantly being called into the school to talk about his behavior, although none of the teachers will say ADD or ADHD. That's what we're talking about. And it is just about a family that is trapped economically. They see doctor after doctor after doctor, and it just kills you. And you know this is happening all over the place. It's so very authentic. There's not a cheerful story in here, and you kind of, why would you want to read something like that, but it's just so very good. It's very strong writing, and it's called Inappropriate Behavior.
Murray Farish is the author, Inappropriate Behavior. Next.
All right, well, let's talk about some nonfiction, and this is the book that I'm kind of most excited about. I don't usually read psychology books, but I picked this one up. It's called Make It Stick, The Science of Successful Learning. It has three authors, Peter Brown, Henry Roediger, and Mark McDaniel. The Roediger and McDaniel are professors at Washington University in St. Louis. And it's about how to become a more productive learner. And, that sounds a little bit bland when you hear it, when I say it, but it is so good. It's readable, it's interesting, and its lessons can be applied by anybody who is interesting in who's interested in becoming a better lifelong learner, who is currently trying to learn something new. Teachers, trainers, almost any level student, I would say, can benefit from this book. From a motivated high school student to a college student to a grad student. It is just fantastic. For example, some of the lessons are somewhat intuitive, some are counterintuitive, but the authors stress that cramming is a really, really bad way to learn. Masked practice is another way of calling it. And cramming, while it can help you do well on the test that you have tomorrow, it's a pretty lousy way to actually remember the material long term, and that's what the book is about. It's about long term learning, related to how ineffective masked practice is. They talk about interleaving, that is, layering in other kinds of material instead of focusing on just one thing at a time. I think people have a tendency to think that if you work at one thing over and over and over until you get that down, and then you move on to the next thing, the authors argue that that is not an effective way to learn. In fact, they say that you want to space out your learning so that a little bit of forgetting takes place. And if you forget a little bit, then it requires effort to retrieve what it is you're trying to learn, and that effortful retrieval is very effective in your learning. So some of the lessons, besides no cramming, interleaving, they are big proponents of testing. And it doesn't have to be necessarily huge tests where the stakes are high, but small quizzes spaced out during, let's say, a semester, for example, where the stakes are kind of low, are very effective in helping students, learners, remember what it is they're trying to learn. Small tests show you what you don't know, and then you can put effort into those things. There are, for example, some good sports analogies, which I like, that they use in this book. And everything in here, by the way, is research-based. I mean, and they cite the studies. I would highly recommend, if your listeners want to learn in a nutshell what this book is about, I found an article online. It was in Wired Magazine in 2012. It was written by Garth Sundom. And if you simply look up "Everything You Thought You Knew About Learning Is Wrong," and it's about Robert Bjork, who's the director of the UCLA Learning and Forgetting Lab, which is kind of a funny-sounding lab. But in any case, you read that article, and that is essentially what the book is about. But I would not stop there. I would read the book, because the examples that they use are so interesting and so fun to read. To get back to the baseball analogy, you know, if hitters practice simply, you know, hitting the fastball, you know, if you just take, you know, pitch after pitch, 30, 40, 50 pitches hitting the fastball, you're going to get better hitting the fastball. And then if you work on hitting the curveball in the same way, in a massed practice sort of way, and then the changeup, you know, you're, in the short term, you're probably going to get better. But in the long term, you're going to be a better hitter if you mix up the pitches. That sounds kind of obvious, but not everybody works that way. Mm. They also, and I love this book, so I'm going on just a bit here, Joe. I hope that you're okay with that.
Well, we're just about it. We're almost out of time, but you can wrap up this, and then we'll tell people they can find the other books online. But go ahead.
Individual learning styles, visual learner versus text-based learning. They kind of dismiss that sort of thinking. You know, the learning ought to be based on the content. Mnemonic devices, those are good. And you can sort of bumble along. If you don't know what you're doing, that's a great way to learn too. Make mistakes. It's a fantastic book. Make it stick. The Science of Successful Learning. I highly, highly recommend it.
Make it stick, and you can find out the entire list. Go to Northshire.com. Go to our website. We have it posted there as well. WAMC.org/roundtable. WAMC.org/roundtable. Stan Hines is the book buyer for Northshire Bookstores in Manchester Center, Vermont, and Saratoga Springs, New York. Stan, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Thank you. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.